At the table of grace, the cup's never empty, the plate's always full, and it's never too late to come and be filled with love never ending. You're always welcome at the table.
You are welcome to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, where He dines with you and you with Him. The Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, is your chef, and I am your steward, Joshua Ojo. At our last gathering at the table, we saw that the very moment we are born again, we are freed from the inherent yoke of the devil within and liberated from the dominion of Satan without. And in the same instance, we are brought into the kingdom of God and of His Christ. And we concluded our meal by saying that God's ultimate purpose for us is to grow up into Christ in all respects so that we can walk in the glorious liberty of the children of God, trampling under our feet all the power of the enemy. Today, our main dish is served from Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And when it was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The Pharisees questioned our Lord Jesus about the timing of the kingdom of God being set up, and He responded by saying that the kingdom of God can neither be perceived with the physical senses, nor is it located in a physical geographic location on the earth. He further stated that the kingdom of God is situated within us. At our last gathering, we saw that we are translated from the power of Satan into the kingdom of God by our rebirth. And so how can the same kingdom be located in us at the same time? For the response to our question, we will begin with the opening segment of the fundamental teaching of our Lord Jesus, taken from the account in Luke chapter 8 and from verses 9 to 11. And His disciples asked Him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And He said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." The parable in question is the parable of the sower, and it begins its interpretation by saying to His disciples, even as He is saying to you and I today, that it is granted to us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For, as He also said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Our Heavenly Father is very delighted to give us His kingdom by granting us the understanding of our mysteries which remain veiled to others. In other words, through understanding, we walk in the reality here on the earth of the heritage of our Heavenly Father's kingdom. For without understanding, we will be separated from that which has been freely given to us in our union with our Lord Christ. We read again verse 11 of Luke 8. "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." In His interpretation of the seed in the parable, our Lord Jesus identifies it as the word of God. And in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 and 19, he reveals a more specific detail of the seed of the word of God. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. The word of God we received into our hearts by believing the gospel of his Son Jesus Christ is specifically the word of the kingdom. Now, here is where we are going. When we are born again, we are not only delivered from the power of Satan and brought into the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is simultaneously birthed in us. We are in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of heaven is in us. Put otherwise, when we are born of God from above, we come under the rule of God within and without. Now, what is this kingdom of God within us? The Apostle Paul answers our question in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God in us is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We will see as we progress that these three are not arranged randomly, but they are arranged in order of priority, with righteousness as the foundation for peace and also for joy in the Holy Spirit. We will seek to refresh our understanding of these three streams, beginning, of course, with righteousness. Oftentimes, we gain understanding by contrasting terms. For example, light is known only as it is compared with darkness. Another example will be hot and cold, which are relative terms and are understood by comparison. Similarly, quite often, when righteousness is mentioned in the scriptures, it is placed as the opposite of sin. And in the Bible, sin is often used interchangeably with evil or iniquity. However, more specifically, evil and iniquity are used to describe the outworking of sin. We will establish the fact that in the Bible, righteousness is consistently placed as the opposite of sin in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Our first two witnesses speak of our Lord Jesus himself. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, it is written of him, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it is written of him, "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Our third witness is written concerning you and I, and is taken from Romans chapter 6, verse 18. "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Simply put, righteousness and sin are diametrically opposed to each other, even as her life and death. Since the Bible repeatedly contrasts righteousness with sin, in order to understand what righteousness is in truth, it is expedient for us to also refresh our understanding of what sin is. Our Lord Jesus reveals to us the nature of the devil in John chapter 8 and verse 44, saying, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Speaking about the unregenerate seed of Abraham, our Lord Jesus said they were the children of the devil, and therefore acting according to the dictates of the devil's nature is native to them. Simply put, it says actions are dictated, are compelled by spiritual pedigree. And if we might mention in passing, child of God, herein is the, not a, but the primary pathway to truly overcoming sin. Not by recurrent, inwardly restless, futile attempts at keeping the moral law of God, but by coming alive to what manner of spirit you are of. Furthermore, our Lord Jesus not only reveals that the devil is the author of death, but also that he is absolutely devoid of truth. The devil's very nature is lie, so it is natural for him to lie, and all lies are sourced in him. When he speaks, he lies unconsciously, or put otherwise, lie is the nature of the devil revealed in his word. Now, at a previous gathering at the table, we had seen the consequences of the woman believing the lie of the devil with the first man, Adam, disobeying God at the instance of his deceived wife. This all-inclusive consequence of the lie, who is the devil, supplanting the word of truth, is succinctly captured for us by the apostle of our Lord Jesus in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The consequence of believing, of receiving into our hearts, the lie, who is the devil, is sin. When we believe a lie, the resultant is sin. Now, here is the point. Sin is the core nature of the devil, packaged in his word of lie. So, acts of sin, otherwise called evil or iniquity, are the manifestations of the essence of the devil himself. By his grace, at our next gathering at the table, we will proceed to our ultimate goal of understanding what righteousness is in truth. Until then, we leave you with these words from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. In this way it is clear who are the children of God and who are the children of the evil one. Anyone who does not do righteousness or who has no love for his brother is not a child of God. Amen.
My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I know. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper, deeper in love.
We hope your whole spirit and soul and body have been nourished at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You may send your comments and request for further clarification by WhatsApp to 0817-955-9161. 0817-955-9161, or send an email to thetableofourlord@gmail.com. thetableofourlord@gmail.com. Join our soon coming bridegroom at his table at the same time next week. The grace of our Lord Jesus is with your spirit. Amen.
Hold me close in your embrace. just wanna love you more.